This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. We recall, gracious God, the words of Scripture. The wedding feast of the Lamb has begun. And so make us prepared that we might welcome Him. Amen. Good morning. Rev. Wendy, Father William, myself, Dee, Barbara McKenzie, Paul Wegner, Gail Drain, Father Sandino, and Isabel were all down in Miami for the last 2 days for our diocesan convention. And we are so tired. And the question you ask is, how tired are you? I'll tell you. I started to tell the 5 o'clock service last night in relation to this parable, the three stages of getting married in Eastern culture that are betrothal, the ceremony, and the wedding feast. I started to talk about the first one. I said, and the first stage is betrayal. And somebody shouted out, that comes later. There are three stages of getting married in that Eastern culture. And to understand this parable, it's good for us to sort of review that. Because this parable is a great parable. There's so much that we can learn from this in terms of application to our spiritual lives in these short, 13 verses that we're given. So the first stage is betrothal, and we know about that from Mary and Joseph, because from the nativity story we hear about Joseph and Mary being betrothed, a period of time that probably lasted around a year. And then it would culminate with the marriage ceremony that would take place probably at the home of the bride. And then the third stage is where we enter into this parable, which has to do with the actual wedding feast. It might follow immediately after the ceremony. It might be delayed and start at a later date. But in any event, it would usually take place at the home of the bridegroom. And it would go on sometimes for days, a huge celebration. But the tradition was that the bridegroom would go to the home of the bride and would escort his bride, lit by the torches carried by the bridesmaids, to the place where the wedding feast would take place. This is the scene in which this parable takes place. Now, the important takeaway from this is the bridesmaids basically had one job. They were supposed to light the way for the procession. So it's not like you would ask a bridesmaid to do this and they wouldn't think that they had to have the oil that was needed for the one task that you gave them. So it's sort of like a no-brainer. It is an egregious mistake that they have made by not having enough oil. Now, there are many takeaways from this particular parable. I would like to concentrate on 5 points today for our reflection. Number one, have you ever had a time in your life, I have them all the time, where you're running around like a crazy person, and you had one main task that you were trying to run around and get ready for, and you forget that main thing? I've heard stories and seen sitcoms where the mom is trying to rush to get the baby to the daycare center. And she runs around, and she gets her keys, and she gets the lunch, and she gets her purse, and she gets out to the car and backs down the driveway, and oops, the baby's still in the crib. Or have you done this, where you're running around and you have tried to get ready for everything you have to get ready for, and then, where are the keys to the car? I don't know where I put them. When those kinds of things happen, especially when we find that we are forgetting the most important things, people, it's God's way of telling us that we need to slow down. The frantic pace with which we live our lives is crazy. Remember the words of my own spiritual guru, Dallas Willard, who died last year, and he had gathered all of these clergy together, and somebody raised their hand and said, "Dallas, of all your knowledge, what's the most important one piece of advice you would give to a Christian on the journey? Eliminate needless hurry from your life. Eliminate needless hurry from your life." As soon as we find that the most important priorities we're forgetting about, especially when it comes to people, it's time for us to slow down. So whatever that oil might represent for you in terms of forgetting stuff, slow down. Number two, and this is not a political statement, and I won't be the first one who said it in relation to this reading, dependence on foreign oil doesn't work. Those bridesmaids thought, well, we can just get the oil from the five who remembered to bring it. It doesn't work. Think about it practically. If I need this much oil to get through the night, now I'm going to reduce everybody's oil to half that, and we're all going to have our torches lit. All of our torches are going out at the same time, and nobody's going to have any light. It isn't going to work. And it's not going to work for us in our spiritual life to depend on anybody else for this relationship with Jesus Christ that God wants us to have. Now, I know there is this story that is beautiful in the Gospels of the friends cutting a hole in the roof and lowering it, the paralyzed man down, and Jesus heals the paralyzed man. Why? Because of the faith of the friends. That's a beautiful story. But it has nothing to do with what we hope would have resulted in that man's relationship with Jesus as a result of that healing. And that's what this is about. It becomes important for us to look within and to see, what am I doing to build up that spiritual fuel, that oil in my own lamp for my journey? Number three, some things cannot be put off to the last moment. Do you remember, those of you who've been around here a while, we did a series with our small groups on prayer some years ago with Philip Yancey. And he had a whole section devoted to problem prayer. And he said, the problem with our prayer is that the only thing we pray about are our problems. Meaning, we have an issue, we need help, we go to God. But the other 23 hours out of the day or 6.5 days of the week, God's not in the picture for us. We need to be attentive. Now, there is this thing that's called deathbed conversions, and I don't doubt that God can do that because God has grace and God can do whatever God wants to do. God is God. But the important thing for us is, he's talking about our life now. And some things he doesn't want us to put off to the last moment. Why? Well, because that brings us to number four. And this is my favorite message from this parable. If we are not prepared, we are going to miss some incredible opportunities. God tells us that because he doesn't want us to miss any of the blessings, he wants us to be able to be attuned so that we can perceive the blessings in the events and the things and the people that we encounter on an everyday basis. And that won't happen if there's no oil in the lamp. We celebrated this past week with our school children the feast of William Temple, who lived in the 30s and 40s. He was an Archbishop of Canterbury, known for his spirituality. But one of the quotes that William Temple has that really stuck with me is something like this. He says, "It amazes me that when I'm faithful to my prayer, coincidences happen all the time. But it's amazing," he says, "that when I'm not faithful to my prayer, those coincidences don't seem to happen." The point is this. Whether or not we realize that God is active in my life 24/7, but when I am in touch with that relationship with God, I can see it and I can perceive it and I can celebrate it. And I come to the wedding feast constantly. This is why God wants us to be attentive to keeping oil in our lamp, because he doesn't want us to miss the party. Number five. This is the hard one. Sometimes, and I emphasize sometimes, we just have to wait for God in the dark. Think of those foolish bridesmaids. If they had just stood their ground and waited, the light from the torches of the wise ones would have lit their way as well. But they left to go get oil. When we have our dark times, things happen. People die unexpectedly. We get sick. We get disappointments. And we want to do so much stuff sometimes to deny it, to try to fill up our lives with all sorts of activities to cover over it and thinking maybe it'll go away. When sometimes, if we just stand our ground and wait, the bridegroom will show up, and the light will be there. That's an important learning. Sometimes we just don't want to see the process through, and yet that's the only thing that God is calling us to do. This is an incredible parable. But the thing I want to leave you with, I think, goes back to number four, which is the most important takeaway. The parable ends with Jesus saying, "Be prepared, for you know not the day nor the hour." And that fear part of us wants to say, oh, he's talking about, I could die tomorrow, and so I better get my life in order. I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about right now. Because he wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be attuned, because the blessings and the God sightings are happening each and every day, that the bridegroom is showing up in people and events and things and everything else, and he doesn't want us to miss that in our lives. And so he says, be prepared. So in whatever way today, God might be calling you to keep that fuel in your spiritual tank. Have the courage to do it. And don't miss the party. Amen.